Hello, this is Joe Tomalin, and I'm sitting here in London with someone who has performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival more than once, and he's going back for more in 2019. So please introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing now.
My name is Matthew Roberts, and I am going to be performing a piece which I've created called Teach. It's working in conjunction with Helen Tennyson, an amazing director, and it's an honour to have her on board. So this is a one-man show with one voice this time. Previously, we did brilliantly with Canoe, critical acclaim across the board, and that was a one-man show where I played three different characters. And previous to that, when you saw Sonny Runny Runcorn, that was even more multiple role-playing. But this is one voice of a teacher about the lesson that changed his life, about working in a school in struggle and strife, and a government currently in England that cuts with a knife.
So you have some sort of experience as a teacher. Could you elaborate a little bit?
I think age three, playing in the back garden, we were like, with imaginary chalk going, let's play school. You know, you're playing school and like, I'll be teacher. Oh, and then you realise as you go on this thing called teaching. And I had some incredible teachers in my life. You know, one teacher that said, like, you can go to Arctic Norway, you can do your D of E. And some members of my family, you know, my Welsh background, R. Emma, severely, she has cerebral palsy, and she has taught me so much. You know, people are my teachers as much as anything. And I taught in China, like, Ni hao, wo shao lao xue, wo shi ying yu lao xue, bing ai xue yuan. You know, I went to see the Shaolin Temple, I went to Xi'an, I went to Shaolin Si. You know, I learned more about martial arts in Birkenhead than I did over there. But to go to Shanghai, to go to Qingdao, an economic development zone, this is way before, in 2002, the Olympics, it was incredible. And I thought, if I can teach there, I can teach anywhere. So, you know, I think the background of, you know, of these Welsh dragons and storytelling and going to China to teach English as a foreign language, I then came back to the UK and my life had to stop because I had a D in mathematics. So it didn't matter about grade A's at A-level, you had to have your mathematics. So I stopped and I worked four different jobs from Father Christmas to bargain booze, and I trained to be a teacher and I got me maths. And I've been working in the profession for 16 years.
Do you enjoy teaching?
I love it. I love it. You know, I think it's TNT for me. TNT, not take that, but just like it's about transformation and it's about transcend. And it's seeing the potential in others, how other people saw the potential in me. Can they go beyond their reach? Can they try? That can do. And no matter what's going to happen, I'll believe in you. And that's you know, you can't transmit something you've not got, and you've got to receive it as well. But it's an incredible profession, and it's broken me on a few occasions, you know. And what's happening now nationally is a crisis point, and it's been incredible with people coming along involved in this project. Dr. Emma Keel, who wrote an amazing book, How to Survive Teaching. People either implode, explode, or walk away. And she's involved in the project. She's going to be doing a Q&A in London, because the people that Centre 17 in Walthamstow, I'll be doing two previews there on the 25th and 26th. And Dr. Emma Keel is going to be doing a Q&A after. And her research from her doctorate and her book beautifully underpins some of the things in the play with statistics. And that really is a real through line, which is in parallel with my own personal experience. You know, if we're going to Arthur Miller, you know, the personal is political, the political is personal. And it really shows that journey, that quest for knowledge, and that love of teaching. To not, that, you know, no matter how grey the day, no matter how dark the night, you know, delight in not knowing, delight in growing better.
Now, going back to Edinburgh, it's never an easy process. What made you want to immediately create a new show when the prior show you were starting to get bookings? What is it about Edinburgh that makes you want to perform this up there?
Experimentation. It's a platform of a laboratory, really, and it's a place to really explore. Obviously, you bring in a product, which is a part of the process, and you're the provider, and it is a product. But I think I had a pizza with Simon Block, and we were talking after Canoe, and what would you like to do next? And he was saying, well, you know, look what you've gone through over the past 3 years in education. You know, you can write about that. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not gonna go near that. And by the end of that pizza, we'd had a walk around the block and had a chat. I said, Teach, this is a play called Teach. And the exhausting the form, because some of the feedback on Canoe is like, we now want to see this show with four people doing it. So Teach is specifically one voice, one character of the teacher. Which...
How else have you changed your process, or how has it evolved or developed since your first one-person show?
I think having people involved at such an early stage, where I didn't realise what I was doing. I knew I had it within me and I wanted to express this and write about this, about marginalisation or the underclass or defending the place where I was born. For Sonny Wanny Runcorn, I wanted to speak about gay fatherhood with Canoe. And the process with Teach has been, I've had two actors read it back to me. I've had the director stood there and go through it with Helen. And what's been extraordinary with this piece, I knew the epilogue. I wrote the epilogue first. I knew where I wanted to end that joy of love inside and outside of the classroom, of the art and of the craft of teaching, which makes living an art. And I think that idea of community and that idea of we are each other's amnesty, and you know, we've got to be alike for each other. Knowing that that is in the epilogue, and that's a celebration of our collective consciousness, it's a celebration of our humanity, it's a celebration of how we are teachable, and it's through being teachable that we are free socially, culturally, historically, politically. Knowing that was where I was going to end up, I didn't realize where it was going to begin. And through that, you know, there was at seven, Mrs. Reimer, she went to China, she came back, she created the Red Table, all things bright and beautiful, all Chinese dragons, great and small, and she had us draw them. And that seed was sown, the idea was planted when I was seven, and I said to myself, I'll go to China. I was from Runcorn, I didn't know where China was. And that then moved me on when I was 16, where someone said, you can go to Arctic Norway, you're in the cadets, you can do this. Wow, yes please. Welsh background, I've been back up and down Snowdon since I was a kid. The possibilities are there. And with Helen's facilitation and exploration, we've laughed, we've cried, and just that journey of we are not our story, and we who teach, and we are teachable. It's having a lot of people, like even having a cup of tea and bumping into yourself at this particular point in May is extraordinary. And I think the heavy lifting for the production is already happening on that educational staff room, also known as Twitter, right, with Pram Patel, decolonising the curriculum, Dr. Emma Peel, like the 5 o'clock club on Twitter. These people are almost the lights in education that aren't there anymore. And, you know, Lindsay Watt, OBE in Scotland, and John Sweeney, I didn't realise the scope of what this is already doing. And I just remain very clear with my intention to tell a story of going, this is my experience of teaching. And it has a ripple effect where every day in the news, it seems to be doing the play. It's doing the play. And I just think, just show up and be a channel for that story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.